In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And today, we have a special testimony from Sue Pelk. Hi, Sue. How are you doing today?
Hi, Pastor John. I am doing quite well. Thank you.
We're going to hear how you came to the Lord and how the Lord really came into your life and brought you into the family of God. So we're going to let you share your story. And audience, just so you know, once in a while I may rudely interrupt Sue just to get some more questions out of her so we can learn about her fascinating story and the way God rescues Sue from her sin.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for having me. I love sharing my salvation testimony because it is a true reflection of a loving, caring, and merciful God. I had no idea that I was missing anything. I thought I was just fine. If you had asked me back then if I knew that I would go to heaven when I died, I would have said yes, partly because the alternative was not anything that I could fathom, but also that I knew in my head, I knew that Christ died on the cross for my sins. But let me give you some background. I was baptized as an infant, and at the age of 3 or 4, I was sent to Sunday school.
So when you say you're baptized as an infant, I'm familiar with the Catholic baptism, where they baptize babies, and also Lutheran.
Yes.
Which one were you?
I was brought up in the Lutheran church.
Okay.
Yeah, my father was an old-time Lutheran born in Germany.
Oh, you go all the way back.
Well, yeah.
Anyone related to Martin Luther?
Sure. But both my parents came from church backgrounds, different denominations. My mother was a Methodist.
Okay.
So when they started their family, they knew that we were going to be a church-going family, and we did go my father's way.
Wonderful.
Brought up as a Lutheran. So anyway, in Sunday school, I learned the Christmas story, the Easter story, King David, Samson, Goliath, and more. I became familiar with names such as Abraham and Moses. Mostly what I learned in Sunday school, especially in the early years, was that God loved me, He made me, and He watches over me always. That teaching never left me. That's foundational and has really stayed with me. In the sixth grade, I began confirmation class. That was what you did in the Lutheran church, and we learned there about church history. We learned about the Bible, studied the catechism. In seventh grade, I was confirmed, and I became a member of the church. Now I no longer go to Sunday school, but attend church only. It was a small church, maybe 100 people, 125, and there weren't a lot of activities. There was no adult Sunday school, just children, first hour, and then church second.
Now, when you went through this confirmation, and now you move into big church.
Yes.
Did you feel closer to God? Did you feel like you had a relationship with Him? Or were you just kind of going, I know more about God, but do I really know Him? Did any of those questions come to mind? Or was it kind of like going through the motions? I'm just taking the next step of what we're ought to do.
Yes. It was the next step type thing. And I was looking forward to confirmation class because I was the youngest of 5 children. They were all confirmed. I can remember seeing it in my church. And I was just excited about being part of the church. So I was happy to go to confirmation class. I was happy when it was time to be in the big church and to be part of that. I've always loved church.
And you love God.
I did.
Which is really interesting because at this point, kind of getting a little ahead of ourselves, you weren't saved, but you loved God.
I totally loved God. And my father, he would talk about the Lord. I would see him sitting in his chair and reading his Bible in German. He was always reading it in German.
Do you remember the German word for God by chance? I don't know what it is, but I thought maybe your audience might be curious.
We weren't allowed to speak German in the house.
Oh.
My mother's brother was in World War II, and so we didn't learn the language, but I love the language. Well, anyway, so time went by, and I attended DePaul University, taking some classes. I was there for a while, and as time went by, I met this very nice young man by the name of Michael Pelk. After dating for about a year, we decided that we were right for each other, and we started planning for our wedding. Now in my story, I'm not at DePaul anymore. I'm working downtown Chicago, and I took a week off for my honeymoon. And when I go back to work, maybe a week or two or a month has passed by, and my supervisor comes up to me with an article. And she says with a smile on her face, she says, "Sue, this is a very interesting article. I think you'll enjoy reading this." She and I would, on occasion, talk about the Lord, talk about church. We knew each other's backgrounds. It was a small company.
Now, was she a believer?
You know, that's a very good question. And I don't believe so. I don't believe so. She gave me the article. We didn't talk about it much. I think it was an interesting artifact to her. And it was only by God's grace that it went further than just reading an article for myself. No, I would say, unfortunately, I don't think she was saved.
So here's two people in an office environment, secular, and you're having spiritual conversations. Each of you would say you love God, but you really don't have a relationship with God
yet. That's correct. Yes. Yes, it's amazing. I took this article and I began reading it, and it was something that I had never heard before. It read like science fiction. There were people disappearing off the face of the earth alive and going up into heaven. Also, there were people coming out of the graves and ascending up into heaven. And there were Bible verses throughout the article supporting what they were saying. I was amazed and confused, to say the least. I had never heard about anything like this before. I could not understand why all this sounded so foreign to me, and yet it had Bible references to support it. I took the article with me when I went home that day, and I gave it to my husband, who liked science fiction. I know that sounds awful, but that's what it sounded to me like science fiction. And I said, "Michael, you have to read this article that I received from my supervisor. It talks about people flying off the earth alive and people coming out of the graves and going up into heaven." "But Michael, it has Bible verses to support it." Then I went about the chores of the evening, getting the supper ready. And a few days go by, and I'm thinking, I'd like to read that article again. So I asked Michael, "Hey, what did you do with that article I gave you about people flying off the face of the earth alive?" And he said, "Oh, I took it to work, and I put it on the bulletin board." Can you imagine? I know. And so I was just like, why would you do that? So he works at a secular workplace with about 100 people in it. But what happened next was by the grace of God. A Christian young man at his company sees the article on the bulletin board, and you can imagine what he's thinking. What I now know is the rapture, seeing this article on the bulletin board, and he starts asking everyone, "Who put this here? How did this get here? Who put this here?" And he's asking people, finally talks to someone, realizes that it was Michael Pell.
Now, he wasn't asking like he was upset. He was asking out of curiosity.
Oh, yes.
Because he's a Christian looking as though who's talking about the Bible.
Correct. Yeah, in a secular workplace, seeing something about the rapture. And so he finds Michael, realizes very quickly on that Michael knows nothing about the article. He just finds it interesting. And he asks Michael, I'd like to come over to your house and talk to you and your wife about this. And so,
now I'm going to pause right here.
Sure.
This is absolutely fascinating.
Yes.
And shows us this amazing providence and love of God and how he uses all things together to work for our good and his glory.
Yes.
Here's an unbeliever, your husband, who gets an article from you, an unbeliever, who got an article from another unbeliever. And now, finally, at the end of this train ride, a Christian comes in, sees the article, and has the courage to say, "Hey, what's going on? Where did this come from?" And seek you out and follow through with the gospel.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've thought of it many times, and I'm thinking, boy, that Christian saw an opportunity, and he seized upon it. He went forward. And, I mean, we've been forever grateful.
And if that Christian had not taken the time to be courageous, where would you guys be?
I know. That's why people really have to be outgoing and talking and sharing tracts. It's so important. So this young man asked Michael to come over after checking with me. Michael makes a date with them, and we thought that he was going to be talking about the article. But when they come over, they open up their Bibles, and they look at Michael and I, and
now, is there more than one person? Did he come with a friend? Or?
Yes, because he knew Michael was married. He was a single fella, so he came with a lady friend.
Okay.
Yeah, and this lady friend, she was very outgoing. It's the only time I ever met her. We kept in touch with the gentleman that Michael worked with. But she was engaged. She was going to be moving, but she had such a zeal and zest for God, and she did all the talking.
So. Well, and you know, that's a great lesson, too, yeah. Because, you know, sometimes we're not the best evangelist,
yeah. Yeah.
But we know someone who is. And just as the Lord sent the disciples out in pairs,
right.
We should go to our evangelistic encounters with another person who yeah. complements our weaknesses or strengths.
Yeah, that sounds good. And so, they came, the two of them, and he certainly could have done the talking, but she did.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that was the plan, I think, right from the beginning.
Now, who was he focusing on, you or Michael, or was it really both?
I think it was both.
Okay.
It was both of us, and we didn't know what we were getting into. We thought we were talking about the article, but they sit down, they have their Bibles, and they look at us, and the first thing that she says to us is, "Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God?" In my head, I'm thinking, oh, my, where is this going? This is really elementary. Of course I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I've been in church, Sunday school, all my life. But I said to her, yes, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I knew the Bible was the basis for church truth. I mean, I never read it. Who does? But I knew that it
was. Now, hang on. I want to pause there. You're not going to let that slip by. Because this is important in your story.
Yes,
you grew up in a church that catechized.
Yeah.
You had a knowledge of you being made in His image. All the great stories.
Yes.
Taught these truths. Yes. But as far as the Bible, yeah. you even believed it was the yeah. Word of God.
Yeah.
But you didn't live off it day to day. You didn't read it. You didn't study it.
I didn't read it. No.
That's how I grew up. The only time I took the Bible out as a kid yeah. was when I saw the movie The Omen, which I don't recommend, and they were talking about yeah. Revelation. I'm like, is that really in the Bible?
Yeah.
But for the rest of my life, it was sitting there on the desk or on the shelf collecting dust.
Yeah. I mean, reading the Bible, back then, all we had was KJV. Now, that's all I can read now because I'm so used to it. I memorize KJV. I love reading it. I like the...
That's the Gideon's flavor that you'll find at a hotel.
Yeah,
hard to read, isn't it?
Yeah, it is and it isn't. You know, I'm used to it now. But back then, it was difficult for me to try and read the Bible. And even though when I was in confirmation class, the pastor did encourage us to read it, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And there's more to be said for that. But yeah, so anyway, they started sharing from the Bible, and they were very careful. Everything they said, they backed up with Bible truth, a Bible verse. So they began with, Sue, do you know that you're a sinner? And it's like, well, yeah, for sure. I know I'm a sinner. That wasn't a problem, Romans 3:23. And then they go on to say...
Let's just remind our listeners, because those passages are really fundamental and formative into you coming to know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So Romans 3:23 is for all fall short of the glory of God and are all our sinners.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. We only have less than a minute left. And so this is a good time to break because now we can pick up where you begin to hear the gospel.
Okay, wonderful.
So thank you so much, Sue, for sharing part of your story.
Yes.
Make sure you tune in the next couple of days. We'll be back on the radio. And we'll continue this amazing story of God's grace coming to rescue Mike and Sue from the penalty of sin. This is Pastor John. Thanks so much for joining us. And take the time to be alert and have courage to share the gospel for those that you meet at work or maybe your neighbors or you meet along the way. Until then, begin to pray and study your words so that you know that you are truly saved in Christ.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.